Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. During this Lenten season, we Christians focus our attention on spiritual battle. Just as Jesus did battle against the devil in the wilderness and overcame him by the word of God, so we Christians, claiming Christ's victory as our own, do battle against the devil. We are reminded of our three spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, St. Paul talks about our sinful flesh, addressing specifically the matter of sexual immorality. He says it is God's will that we Christians avoid all sexual immorality. What does that mean? It means that God has placed sexual intimacy within the bond of marriage, and he approves of sexual relations between husbands and wives and condemns sexual relations outside of marriage. Premarital and extramarital sexual relations are sins against God. St. Paul says that God will avenge those who do these things. He will punish them. And this is a difficult battle, especially for the young. God has given us certain desires that, when rightly governed, can be a beautiful expression of love between a husband and a wife, and God willing may be the means by which God creates new life. But our American culture celebrates sexual immorality. It is par for the course. It is expected. To say that sexual intimacy belongs to marriage and nowhere else means that we are denying the demands of our flesh and we're denying the teaching of the world. These are spiritual struggles that are to be expected. But there are some spiritual battles that are not to be expected. That is the battle set before us today in this account of the Canaanite woman who will not let Jesus deny her plea. It stands as one of the most moving stories in the Bible. Jesus' behavior appears inexplicable. He in whom there is pure mercy appears to be hard-hearted, if not downright cruel. He who stood up to the devil himself and drove him away with the word of God does nothing to help this desperate woman whose daughter is suffering from demon possession. She begs him. He ignores her. It looks like he's rejecting her. He says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That excludes her. She's a Canaanite. She's not of the house of Israel. She cries out, Lord, help me. He tells her it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She was a Gentile dog. She met God, and God appeared as her enemy. Now, it's hard enough to fight against the devil. He's cleverer than we are. Very accomplished at luring people into sin and unbelief. It's hard to fight against the world. We want to belong. We want to fit in. And we don't want to be different from everybody else. And it is hard to fight against our own sinful flesh. I think of a song popular when I was in college. The singer is singing to his lover while cheating on his wife, and he croons, "If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right." Well, the flesh is a liar. He tells you that if you obey him, you will be satisfied, but that's a lie. Sin never satisfies. It leaves you empty inside. So we need to learn to fight the fight of faith against the devil, against the world, and against our own sinful flesh. But this woman from Canaan, she's engaged in a battle far more serious. She's fighting a fight against God. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. God is not our enemy. He's never our enemy. He cannot be our enemy. He's our loving Father. Christians are, by definition, children of the Heavenly Father. We belong to the Father through faith in the Son that the Holy Spirit establishes in our hearts. We are children of God. He is not our enemy. But look, he looks like her enemy. She confesses Jesus as her Lord. She acknowledges him as the Son of David, the Christ, the Savior promised by the prophets. She begs him for mercy. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She's a Christian. And he ignores her. He ignores her Christian confession. He ignores her plea for help. When she persists, his words appear to exclude her completely. He tells her that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Canaanite. She was not of Israel. She was not a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She was a Gentile, a dog. And that's what he called her, a dog. If that's not rejection, what is? Prayer doesn't work. Jesus is not merciful. See, she begged him. She honored him. She confessed him as Christ and Lord, and he rejected her, calling her a dog. Oh, dear Jesus, gentle Jesus, loving Jesus, merciful Jesus, what have you done? We confessed your mercy. We called you Lord. We confessed you as our dear Savior. You promised the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. But you are tossing her out. How can we trust you? You're not so gentle. You're not so merciful. You're not so compassionate as you claim. You are cruel, heartless. Now, is this what that woman thought? This hurting woman, this insulted woman, this woman who came to Jesus crying out for help, did she think Jesus was cruel? Did she think that Jesus would leave her daughter under the control of evil spirits? No. She knew that Jesus would answer her prayer. She knew that Jesus would be merciful to her. She knew, and she fought with God. She fought, she wrestled with Jesus until she had him pinned on the mat. No, she wasn't an ancestor of Jacob by blood, but she most certainly was Israel's daughter. Jacob, who wrestled with a man who was God all night long and would not let him go until he blessed him, taught this woman how to fight with God. You hold him to his word. You don't let go of his word. That's what she did. And she defeated him with his own words. And that's what he wanted her to do. Call me a dog. I claim now what belongs to the little dogs, and you cannot deny me that. So many fancy highfalutin prayers with flowery language, extolling God, praising him with many words, prayed with perfect diction and eloquent speech. And what are they but empty noise compared to the prayer of this Christian woman? Faith holds God to his word. That's how you fight with God when he appears to be your enemy. You hold him to his word. You don't hold him to what he hasn't promised. The name it and claim it health and wealth gospel is a lie. It tries to bind God to what he hasn't promised. This woman prayed as a Christian. She understood how to pray. She humbled herself. She persisted. She prayed by holding God to his promises. She prayed according to God's word. If you want to know how to pray according to God's word, pray the Lord's Prayer. Pattern your prayers after it. God has promised to hallow his name among us. He has promised to bring us into his kingdom. He has promised to do his good and gracious will for us. He has promised to provide us with what we need to support our physical needs. He has promised to forgive us all our sins for Christ's sake. He has promised to lead us away from tests that would destroy us. He has promised to deliver us from the evil one. But it often appears that God is our enemy. David writes in the psalm, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off." Job complains, "I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up and you regard me, but you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you oppose me." Consider with me today the most intense battle any man ever fought with God. I'm talking about an innocent man. He loved purely. There was no trace of envy, lust, greed, or malice in his heart. The highest and most respected religious leaders punished him for his goodness. He was betrayed into the hands of sinful men who, by an outrageous miscarriage of justice, had him sentenced to be crucified. He had prayed to his heavenly Father that the cup of suffering might pass from him, but that could not be. He must drink the cup. What was it? What was the cup? It was the cup of divine wrath. It was God's indignation, his vengeance, his retribution against all sinners. The Holy Son, begotten of his Father before all worlds and born of the Virgin Mary in time, was dutiful and obedient, yet God punished him. God became his enemy. God fighting God, what a terrible spectacle that was. It is so awful, only Christians dare believe it. The holy man, not just a man, but God in the flesh, must suffer God's punishment against sinners. He who was very God, a very God, found God as his enemy, did he not? Look beneath his suffering and see what is there. The Father loves his Son. He is well pleased with him. The Father's love for his Son is so great that it embraces all those for whom his Son died. The wrath, the woe, the pain, and the suffering that Jesus suffered on Calvary, where is it now? It is removed from us as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus bore what we could not bear so that we would not have to bear it. And at no time during Christ's ordeal did the Father's love for his only begotten Son ever waver. Even when the Son cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he remained in perfect union with his Father. It appears at times that God is our enemy, but he's never our enemy. When it looks as if he is, think again and search for his mercy underneath your suffering. Hold onto his word. The psalmist writes, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption." Who is Israel? We who with the Canaanite woman cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." We are Israel. We are God's church, his children, his chosen, his elect, washed in Christ's blood and forgiven of all our sins. When God appears to be our enemy, we will not trust in what we see. We will trust in God's word. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'd like to invite you to come to the services of our parish. Sunday morning at 8:30, Divine Service at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview. Sunday morning at 10:45, Divine Service at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. During Lent, Wednesday evening at 6:15, Vespers at Trinity in Sydney. And Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, Vespers at St. John in Fairview. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for us.